and good morning. My name's Brenda, and I just want to say thank you so much for your wonderful warm welcome. It really is wonderful to be here, and I do consider it to be an absolute privilege. And just before I begin, I'd just like to pray. So let's do that. Dear God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for all of the people in the Bible and for what they are able to teach us about you. I thank you, God, for your words that bring power and life and transformation. And I pray, God, this morning, like just as we've sung that Jesus loves us so, I pray, God, that each and every one of us will, that you will reveal a greater understanding of what that really means, that we will go to a greater depth of your love today, and that you will soar us up to an incredible height today as we recognize more fully the love that you have for each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. There are 66 books in the Bible, and two of them are named after women. One's Esther, and another one is Ruth. And you are all in for a wonderful Mother's Day treat today, because we are going to be looking at the life of this woman called Ruth. And she has got her own little book in the Bible, just four chapters long. And it is a treat for Mother's Day, because it is indeed a love story. But women, ladies, before you get all Mills and Boonsy on me and go off into some kind of love story fantasy world that's got no sense with reality whatsoever, just let me bring you back down. And lads, before you start switching off thinking, oh, love's not for me, just stop. Let me bring you back. Because this is an incredible love story. It is an extraordinary love story. It's a love story that is so significant for each and every single one of us today, both men and women. And I love meeting people. I find it it's dead inspiring to meet people. I think that you can learn stuff from anybody and everyone, no matter how young or how old you might be. I can learn something from you. And believe it or not, you could learn something from me too. It's amazing meeting people, and when I read my Bible, it's like it's no different for me. I kind of grab hold of it and go, "Who are you? Let me meet you." I kind of introduce myself to them and see what they can teach me. And to be honest with you, I've heard loads of stuff about Ruth as I've been growing up, and I kind of know her story, but I've never ever took the time to really meet her. And so I want to thank you for inviting me today and asking me to talk about her, because I've had to spend a little bit of time going to meet her and seeing who she really is and what really is going on inside her and what kind of a woman she really was. And I have been quite challenged by Ruth, and I've received great encouragement from Ruth, and I hope that you will too. I'm going to begin by just setting the scene a little bit, because it always helps for me to put things in a little bit of context so I kind of understand where we're going with things. And Ruth, you find her in the Bible around the time of the Judges. And it's kind of a little bit like home from home, to be honest, because back then in the time of the Judges, everyone went around doing what the heck they liked, including God's people. Some were faithful, but some of God's people did what the heck did they liked, as well as everyone else in the country. And as a result, there was chaos. People were disagreeing. There was fights going off. And you know what? God's a gentleman. He doesn't barge his way in and say, right, I'm God, and you're going to do this and live like this. And he puts his hand up your back and marches you to do stuff. No, he's a gentleman. And he says, you know what? I'm God. I'm here for you. This is how I want you to live. Do you want to live it with me? And then he lets us have a choice. And if we choose to not, then we'll suffer the consequences of that. And so Ruth lived around that time where people were like around here now, where we're constantly suffering the consequences of not always listening to God. We're not always getting it right. And just before, if you imagine this room like a little bit of a map for a moment, up here is the Sea of Galilee. This is the squiggly Jordan River down there, just leading out there to the back room. Is it a kitchen? I don't know. Is the Dead Sea. And this bit tops Israel, and you've got Judah down the bottom, just so that you kind of know roughly where we're at. And before we get to meet Ruth, we meet this family of God who are living in Bethlehem, which is the Dead Sea is down there, a little bit over. Bethlehem's just about, that's to my right of the Dead Sea, and a little bit up to Jerusalem, so, or the other way around. So you've got a little idea. They're about 5 miles each of each other. And they kind of lived over there. And this family was known as, they're described in the Bible as the Ephratites. And that's just a little bit like calling us Scousers. Because Bethlehem was kind of, the old ancient name was actually Ephrath. And so they were just the Ephratites, like we're Scousers from Liverpool. That's all it is. So it's dead easy, dead simple to understand. It's not uncomplicated. And so there they are, they're living there. Now, stuff happened that wasn't good. And one of the things that was really tough and really hard for this family, as everyone else living in that area, all of God's people, was there was a famine. So people were starving and food bank wasn't around. And they didn't know what to do. And they decided not to stay. They decided to move. So they did about a 50-mile journey by coming up a little bit to the top of the Dead Sea and going right down the other side of the Dead Sea to a place called Moab. And they settled there. And who were they? A woman called Naomi and her husband Elimelech and her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And tragedy strikes because Elimelech dies and Naomi is left without a husband. But she's got her two sons, so it's okay. And her two sons choose to get married, and this is where we find out about where we first meet our Ruth. And our Ruth comes along into the picture because Mahlon chooses her as his wife. Now you just might think that's pretty normal and there's nothing complicated in that. But actually, straight away we can realise that Ruth wasn't just an ordinary woman. She was an extraordinary woman because there was tension in the land. The Moabites, they didn't care about God. They weren't interested in God. The Israelites were. And it weren't seeing good to get married to each other. Major family tensions, major stuff going on. But Ruth chooses to marry. And there they are, and they're living down there. And then even more tragedy strikes. I told you it wasn't your average love story. It's kind of quite sad at the minute, isn't it? Because the first time we meet Ruth is in the midst of incredible and horrendous grief. Because both sons die. And so Ruth finds herself in a family where there are no men. Now, I know we can all have a laugh about today and thinking, great, that's brilliant. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Family without any men, let's get on with it. But you know what, back then, and if we really think about it, it isn't that good. We love having guys around, they're important. And back then, in that time, if you were a woman without a husband, if you were a widow without a husband, if your sons had died, as Naomi's had, you were nothing. You were a nobody. You could be taken advantage of, and your hope was non-existence. You were really now expecting a life of poverty until it ended. It was a hopeless situation. Now, Naomi is, because news about God's people always travels fast in today's world, but it was same back then. Everyone wants to know what's going on and who's what. And Naomi hears that in God's land, in Judah, that God's people are being blessed with food again. And so she chooses to go back. What's amazing is that Naomi turns to her daughters-in-law and asks them, do they want to come? And they start off on this journey together, but then she stops and she says, hang on. Naomi is in a really bad situation. She's got nothing except her two daughters-in-law. And she is grieving terribly because not only has she lost her husband, but two sons. That's it, her all of her family gone. She could selfishly cling over to these girls and do some emotional blackmail here, causing them to stay with her. But she doesn't. Instead, she says, look, don't follow me. This is no hope for you. I'm nothing. Look, you know what? If you stay here where your family are, then, you know, you're still young and you can find yourself another husband and you can have a future and a hope. If you come with me, it's a waste of time and a waste of space. And Orpah, the other wife, says, basically, okay, thanks. And she goes and she returns home. And this is where we begin to see the extraordinariness, if that's a word, of Ruth. Because Ruth says, I'm going to stay. Naomi says, oh no, please, please, off you go, please don't. And Ruth says, I'm going to stay with you. It's obvious that for Orpah to go off, it's acceptable. And Ruth doesn't selfishly go, hey, you stay here with me. I want to stay, so you stay too. You make this easier for me. No, Ruth just takes total responsibility for her own life. And she chooses to go with Ruth. And there's those words that are found in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 that say this. This is what Ruth said to her mother-in-law. Don't ask me to leave you. Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you live, I'll live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. This is amazing. Ruth is choosing to not only turn her back on her family, but she's choosing to turn her back on her God and her culture as well. Because back then, the Moabs, they worshipped a god called Chemosh. Everybody had some kind of something that they were worshipping. What is it that Ruth saw? Because she'd spent time with this family of God, and tragedy had struck. Tragedy upon tragedy had struck. What had Ruth saw? She was now heading somewhere where it was hopeless, but she wanted to go. What had Ruth saw? She was now choosing to follow a God who hadn't brought many blessings, it seems, here. There weren't good stuff going on. What had Ruth saw? She saw the one true God, who, just like John's read earlier out of Psalms, lifts us from the pit. And she was clinging hold of that hope. She saw a God who would love her and accept her. She was trusting that that's what he would do. Because it was unheard of. God's people were God's people. She was who? A nobody, a nothing. And Naomi, I think, was a wonderful inspiration for Ruth. Because I think Naomi was a very real woman who shared her real feelings. Because we hear that she was genuinely upset. But she didn't pretend to Ruth. She didn't say, oh no, I'm fine, praise the Lord anyway. Sometimes we can do that, can't we? Why do we pretend when we're hurting? Naomi didn't. But Naomi said, I'm hurting, but I'm sticking with God and I'm going back because that's my only hope. And that's what Ruth saw. She saw a real God through Naomi being real, I believe. And she wanted this God in her life. And she was prepared to give up everything for God. And so we find that they make this horrendous journey. They couldn't hop on a little bus and, you know, get a nice train journey. It weren't like that. It was a 50-mile gruesome up and down hills, mountains. It was hard terrain walk. She's got a depressed mother-in-law. How many mother-in-law jokes do we have? Mother-in-laws, they're never seen in a particularly good light, are they? And you're not necessarily feeling any necessarily real attachment to them because, you know, they're not real family. It's not really that important, and I'm just going to complain about it. She was with somebody who was really suffering, not just a mother-in-law, but a mother-in-law who was suffering and was moaning about it and hating about it. So it already, Ruth is becoming more and more extraordinary to me. They hit the back home in Naomi's land. Now Ruth is feeling total alien. She doesn't know anybody. She doesn't know nothing. She is now wrapped up in this strange culture in a massive way. She knew about it from where she was, but now it's really obvious what's going on. And as she walks into town, it's dead good because Naomi, her mother-in-law, is welcomed, and you're thinking, oh, this is great, wonderful welcome. But Naomi, she's so depressed, really depressed. And she says to all her friends and mates who are happy to see her, don't you call me Naomi anymore. Because Naomi means like pleasant one, one who God's pleased with. And he ain't pleased with me, she said. Do you want to know what's happened to me? I've lost my husband. I've lost my kids. I've got nothing and no one, and I'm back. So you call me bitter because that's what I am. Surprisingly, Ruth chooses to stay. Isn't she amazing? Isn't Ruth extraordinary? And do you know what? My mum has suffered with depression all of my life. And when we were like in our teens, my mum had a complete breakdown as well, so she didn't even know who we were. And I can understand. I really identified with Ruth at this point in the story because I know what it's like to be around someone who is feeling so low. And one thing I love about my mum, and I always tell her, is that her life to me shows me the goodness of God. God has never healed my mum, but he sustained her. She got a memory back, so she knew who we were, and we joke about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for her. But her life, I can see God at work, and I have great encouragement from my mum because she chooses to stick with Jesus even though she still struggles with this illness, which sometimes can bring on thoughts of real, I just want to end it. And that's what I think Ruth was seeing in Naomi here. She was seeing God shine through the tough times. And she wanted that God. She wanted to know him. And she went around. What I love about Ruth as well is that we don't hear that she became bitter too. We don't hear that she became bothered and worried about and anxious and moaning in the same way Naomi did. She went one better. And she just kept on faithfully following this God. What I want us all to know about this love story is that Ruth was accepted by God. And sometimes we can all make excuses. Oh, God probably won't like me today. Well, if he knows what I've done, if he knows where I've come from. Yeah, I haven't had the same life as all them others in church. I'm different, me. We make excuses and we say, God can't possibly want me. Ruth lets us know every single one of us in this room is loved beyond our understanding by a great and magnificent God. And Ruth is now on a journey of her watching God lift her out of a pit that she's in into a place of blessing. And what's amazing is that God uses her to help Naomi get out of that pit too. So she's in that place of blessing. What's important to know is it takes flipping ages. It's years. It's a long time. All of this is happening. I'm telling you it in a few minutes, but this is real life, and it's hard and it's tough and it's not happening quick. And not, God isn't just rushing in going, ta-da! You've said you want to trust me and follow me and give your all for me. Here, be blessed. It takes time. And again, Ruth encourages me. because I do not understand God's timing, if I'm honest. I really don't. And sometimes I question it massively. Not just for myself and my own life, but for other people who I come across and meet. And I'm often, God often hears me going, seriously? Why? Time? Do you understand it? Do you know what it's like for us? I ask him daft questions because I just don't get his timing. But what's so encouraging about Ruth is that Ruth shows me that in his time, God does pick us out of pits and puts us in a place of blessing. What follows now, as Ruth is in this new place, is a bit of a off-the-wall kind of a love story, if I'm honest. And it sounds a little bit weird. It sounds a little bit daft. But once you kind of understand the culture, the laws that people had, because remember, they didn't have a society like we do. We didn't have the court as we do. They didn't have the police as we do. They didn't have the welfare state as we do. They didn't have, you know, all of these kind of things weren't there. So they kind of had their own version of it. And so that's why the things in this story, you can go, what on earth are you on about? What was available for Ruth and Naomi? Because they had nothing. They had no hope. And so the rule of the people of God's people was, we need to look after each other. We need to do it. And so they put a law in. So basically at harvest time, they'd leave bits of food at the end. So they'd have a big harvest. People would be reaping it, railing it in. Others, the women would be behind tying it in bundles, and then stuff would be left. And the law of the land was, you can go and you can have that bit of food that was left over. It was hard work. It was exhausting work. It was tirelessly going on and on and on for a very little reward. And Ruth chose to do this, not just for herself, but for her mother-in-law as well. So her mother-in-law didn't have to experience the shame and the humiliation and the hard work of it. She went out and did it for both of them. She was doing it as a stranger in a foreign land. So she was wondering whether the rules applied to her, but she just trusted God to do that. He would come up for her. And then we realise that, you know, it just so happens. I don't believe in just so happens. I believe that God sent her into Boaz's field. And this is where, Paul, you'd be brilliant to come up and start singing again now for us, because this is where your song fits in just great. Because this guy called Boaz, who is well respected, he's very wise, he's got money, he's got land, he has got talent, he has got ability, and he's also got a really compassionate heart, and he cares. And it just so happens, not, that he is a distant relative that's still alive of Naomi. Now again, this is a weird kind of law. I can't imagine us working well with this one today. But back then, in order to help and to protect people, to give people some kind of hope, what happened then is, if I was married to somebody and they died, well, it would be his brother who would kind of have to come back and marry me, and so that I could have children and keep still having a life, because the land and everything belonged to the family, the guys in the family, not the women. The women could live there, but they weren't owning it, couldn't do anything with it. So all of this kind of stuff was going on. And then if there was no immediate sons and other sons and stuff, well, the next relative in line could kind of take this on board. Naomi, when Ruth arrived back every day, I'd say, how's your day been? We see a beautiful relationship between these two. There's no horrible angst of daughter and mother-in-law going on. Naomi's got a genuine love, compassion and care for Ruth, and Ruth in return has for Naomi. It's obvious when you read the story, the beautiful love that they have for each other, as well as the incredible love that they have for God. And Naomi starts to get a little bit excited, because she suddenly realised that there's a relative that's still alive. And maybe, just maybe, our Ruth can have a good future. That's what our Naomi's thinking. Just maybe. And that little bit of bitterness that she's struggling with, a little bit starts to chip off. And she tells Ruth what to do. And it's weird, girls. It is really weird. I don't think I would do it if someone came along to me and said, you know what, go down to the farmer there, he'll be doing his crops, and then he always sleeps with his crop to protect it, check it out. And then while he's sleeping, wait till he's well fed and he's had a drink and he's fast asleep, just put your best dress on, look your best, and then just go and pull the blanket off from his feet and just lie down and wait for him to wake up. I told you, it just sounds off the wall, doesn't it? You know, I kind of go, what? I mean, maybe this is why I never really got into finding more out about Ruth, because I just thought, this is bizarre, it's nonsense. But it isn't. Because that's what happened then. That's what the guys did. They needed to protect their grain. They also, the way the threshing worked, they'd get up in the middle of the night to do their job because it was reaping in the day and it was threshing at the night, be on shifts and all of this. It makes perfect sense. Why put the blanket off from his feet? Well, have you ever been in bed and the quilts come off your feet? You get freezing, don't you? And you don't stay snuggly. You wake up going, brr, well, that's what was going to happen. So it was just like he'll wake up eventually if you leave his feet to get cold, and that did. And the way the whole thing was the things that Naomi taught Ruth to say was just helping Boaz see that what she was saying is, will you marry me? Will you take care of me? I'll give myself to you. He was an old man, Boaz. Not as handsome and young looking as our Paul over there singing. But he did have the charm and the wit and the voice, I do think. But he was an old man. And he recognized what was going on. What I find incredible about Ruth is, Ruth didn't really get this culture. She didn't really get these rules and regulations, but she just trusted them. I don't know if I would have. I think it would have been, you what, Naomi? You've got to be kidding. I've been through what? And now, do you know what I'm doing? Every single, and now you're asking me to go make a fool of myself. What an, do you know? But Ruth doesn't. She goes, okay. She trusts. And she accepts God, and she accepts his rules, and she accepts the teaching that she is given from this wise woman in her grief and in her bitterness. She still sticks with it. And then we do have songs start coming, and the story does end beautifully. Because what does happen is that Boaz sees that this woman is incredibly faithful. And incredibly loving. He knows that she's young, she's pretty, she stood out, he'd been helping her loads. What do you do that for, guys? Don't just help a woman out for no reason, do you? When you're on the lookout for one. You like to give her things in the hope that she'll see you and like you back. Maybe that was a little bit of flirtation that he'd been doing, hoping, but now it was there and it was possible for him. And he knew that, you know, Ruth was meeting loads of other guys. She didn't have to stay faithful to the God of Israel because she weren't from there, but she was choosing to. She could have gone off with any other guy and had a security, but she was choosing not to. She wanted to do it right by her mother-in-law and stick through faithfully. And so, sure enough, Boaz sees this. She is seeing his incredible kindness and generosity. But there's another relative around. Oh no, he's entitled to marry Ruth. Not him first. Boaz has got to sort that out. And do you know what you find in this part of the story is just, again, amazingness. Because let's face it, when a girl and a guy like each other, it's hard to restrain yourself. But Boaz and Ruth respected each other, and they restrained themselves. And there was no sexual promiscuity between them. They wanted to do it right and well by God. They wanted to wait until they were married. It mattered to them. They were showing faith and integrity. And Boaz went and did it right. And he sought the council in the village because it was the right thing to do. And then, and only then,
when he'd had everything right by the law, right by God, knowing that Ruth was choosing to do the same, did he then turn around and say no? And he did marry her, and they were given a child, and Naomi's heart was turned from bitterness into praise. And she was able to give to her mother-in-law her life back, which is what is an incredible and beautiful gift to be able to give someone. And Ruth did that through her faithfulness, faithfully hanging on in what I think is against all the odds. And I just want to share three briefly, just to finish with, things that really stand out to me with Ruth. And it's how to grieve well. Ruth teaches me how to grieve well. Because Ruth, remember, had lost her husband, and she was grieving. She'd lost her father-in-law as well, plus her brother-in-law. She was grieving. And she chose to faithfully choose to keep following God consistently. And you know, when I look at this whole thing of grief, I realise that it's not always just about losing somebody when they die. We can grieve in so many different ways. We can grieve when we lose a job, when we retire, when we get a divorce because things don't work out how we hope. We can grieve when we get married and find that we can't have children. One of the things that I grieve is that I have always wanted to be married and have kids since I was little. I became a Christian when I was 12. I chose to follow God, and he still hasn't given me a husband. And I have had to learn to grieve that. And I say learn to grieve that because, you know, we tend to put on this brave face, don't we, and say it doesn't matter. Do you know, the more we say it doesn't matter, the less chance we've got of recovering from it. The less chance we've got of allowing God to come back in to heal us and to bless us again. So it's really important that, like Naomi did, she was honest in her grief. She was able to encourage Ruth to do the same, to be honest in their sadness. What is it that you grieve? What is it that you've lost? Are you being honest and open about it to other people and to God? Are you allowing him to come in and heal you, to bring you out of that pit and restore you to a place of blessing? Are you going to stick with him? Until we give him our grief, he can't heal it. And we grieve in so many different ways. The second thing about Ruth is just her faithfulness. She kept going. Sometimes I find it hard to keep going. Sometimes I know that living as a Christian, my life looks stupid to other people. The way I choose to live, the way I choose to do relationships looks idiotic and pathetic and outdated and useless to people. And I find that hard to keep going, especially when God doesn't give me what I want. I do find it hard, but I look at Ruth and I say, thank you, Ruth. Thank you for keeping going. Thank you for being faithful, even when it's so hard and so tough, even when time makes no sense as to why it has to take that flipping long. Thank you for keeping faithful because you've made me feel normal. Through not bailing out, through not walking away, Ruth was able to receive the blessing. If we keep being faithful, if we keep walking forward when it's so tough, we will receive the blessing because God's promises are true and he says, I will lift you out of the pit. And my journey is that as I'm grieving over my things, that I am gaining strength from God as I allow him in to heal me. And my ability to be faithful makes more sense because it's like I get more of God if I do that, and that's good for me. And life's better with more of God. And the last thing I just want to tell you about is Ruth life just shouts Jesus at me. Because it begins in Bethlehem, where my Saviour Jesus was born. And the Ruth ends with her being part of the ancestry to bring about Jesus into this world. But all the way through it, Ruth is recognising who's her God, who's important, what life is really, really about. And so when I look at Ruth, I go, thank you for being such an excellent woman of God, for being real and grieving in hard times, for being faithful when it's tough, and for rejoicing and praising God when you get blessed. And Ruth teaches me that in the same way God honoured her, he will honour me and he will honour you. In the same way Ruth's life had significance and meaning that lasted throughout the whole of eternity, so does yours and so does mine. If we choose to follow him faithfully. So can I encourage you and me this morning to keep on keeping on with Jesus? And if you are hurting, then you give him your hurt. You talk to somebody here and say, help me, be like Naomi, walk together as Naomi and Ruth did. We need that as we allow God in and stick with him, be faithful, even if what he says seems ludicrous and ridiculous to you at times, which sometimes, if I'm honest, God's word does seem a little bit ludicrous and ridiculous and unfair to me when I look at it through my little earthly eyes. But you know, when I'm real and I'm honest, he gives me understanding, he gives me wisdom, just like he gave to our Ruth, and he'll do the same for you. Let the whole of your life cling to Jesus, and let your life count for eternity too. Thanks very much.